Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. I was in Davenport last week attending the festival and therefore I didn't get in my WBIX program, which I usually record or upload on the last Friday of the month. I just got back a couple of days ago and I didn't have too much time to prepare something in depth, and therefore I decided to take the easy way out. And what I'm going to have today is recordings that Paul Whiteman and his orchestra made in the 1920s, played by contemporary musicians. Now, there are two kinds of recordings by contemporary musicians of Whiteman's tunes. Ones in which the musicians provide their own arrangement and interpretation, and those that follow the arrangement used by Paul Whiteman in his recordings. I'm going to have examples of both types. Well, let's get started with the music. First, two recordings I want to play are Reaching for Someone, recorded by Paul Whiteman on May 3rd, 1929, and Louise, recorded by Paul Whiteman on March 15, 1929. The modern musicians that are going to play those two recordings are Dick Solhalter and the Anglo-American Alliance, the Tuesday Band. This is a CD from Jazzology, JCD 274. And the tunes were recording on November 2nd and November 9, 1968. The musicians in the band are Dick Solhalter on cornet, Alan Cooper on clarinet and bass clarinet, John R.T. Davis, the legendary restorer of music, on alto and baritone saxophones as well as trombone, Jim Shepherd on trombone and bass saxophone, Ray Whittam on bass saxophone and alto clarinet, Henry Francis on piano, Neville Scrimshire on guitar, Mike Gilligan on bass, Johnny Armitage on drums, and Chris Ellis does the vocals. The Anglo-American band, or Anglo-American Alliance, was a group of musicians in England, a couple of Americans and the rest were British, that met on Tuesdays and played the music from the 1920s. Eventually, they decided to make some recordings, and here are two of them Reaching for Someone, and Louise from 1968.
Thank you.
those recordings were made before Sodhalder wrote with Phil Evans, Bix, Man and Legend, but you can see already that Sodhalder was very much under the spell of Bix. Okay, the next two recordings I want to play are There's a Rainbow Round My Shoulder and When. There's a Rainbow Round My Shoulder was never recorded by Paul Whiteman, but he played it once on March 26, 1929 for the Old Gold Hour, and a couple of times more, and perhaps in concerts. The other tune is When, which was recorded by Paul Whiteman on March 12, 1928. The recordings by the modern musicians of these two tunes are by the San Francisco Starlight Orchestra, and they come from a CD entitled Doing the Raccoon. It's a stomp-off CD 1271, recorded in 1993. The liners are written by John Howard, the leader of the band of the San Francisco Starlight Orchestra, not band, an orchestra. It's a 15-piece orchestra consisting of five violins, two cornets, trombone, three saxes, piano, tuba, banjo, and percussion. And three of the musicians form a vocal trio known affectionately as the Starlight Boys. What is interesting to me about the liners, well, there are many interesting things, but there's one piece of information which is relevant to what we have been talking about in the Bixography Forum for the last couple of days, as I reported from the festival in Davenport. And I want to read from the liners by John Howard, who was in Davenport for the 1992 festival. And this is what he writes. During the festival, I was taken around by Rich Johnson, a director of the Bix Beiderbecke Memorial Society, to see Bix's gravesite, his school, his childhood home, and several other exciting landmarks for people who love 20s music. It was hard to believe I was actually there. Rich is just one of the many local Bix fans who are eager to share the historical highlights of their town. If you ever make it to Davenport, contact the Bix Beiderbecke Memorial Society and bring your camera. Well, I should say that that Rich is not just one of the many local Bix fans who are eager to share the historical highlights of their town. He was a very special one, extremely generous, extremely knowledgeable, and he knew all the sites. Fortunately, a lot of the information that he had is going to be available in the forthcoming book that he wrote with Jerry Bowers and Jim Arpey. Okay, let me tell you a couple of things about the two recordings. There's a Rainbow Round My Shoulder. The liners tell us this arrangement by Bill Challis was a popular number for the Paul Whiteman Orchestra, but unfortunately was never recorded. Our version features the Starlight Boys vocal trio with hot solo by the inimitable Bob Schulz on Bix Beiderbecke's cornet. And then, for When, let me see if I can find this. When the arrangement by Bill Challis for the Paul Whiteman Orchestra was originally recorded on March 12, 1928. Our version features the Starlight Boys vocal trio with scat vocal by Ed Rosenbach and solos by John Pedone, alto sax, followed by Bob Schulz using Bix Beiderbecke's cornet on the scat chorus. So here is the San Francisco Starlight Orchestra in 1993.
Thank you. There's a rainbow round my shoulder and a sky of blue above. Oh, the sun shines bright, the world's all right, 'cause I'm in love. There's a rainbow round my shoulder and it fits me like a glove. Let it blow and storm, but I'll be warm, 'cause I'm in love.
Hallelujah, how the folks will stare when they see the diamond solitaire that my little sugar baby is going to wear.
Yes, sir. There's a rainbow round my shoulder and a sky of blue above, and I'm shouting so the world will know that I'm in love.
The next two tunes I want to play are Sugar and Sweet Sue. Sugar was recorded by Paul Wildman on February 28, 1928, soon after Biggs had joined the band the previous fall. And Sweet Sue was recorded on September 18, 1928. Now, the modern musicians are the New England Conservatory Jazz Repertory Orchestra under the conduction of Gunther Schuller. This is GMCD number 3048, recorded in 1976. The CD, of course, is a reissue. It's the title of the CD is Happy Feet, a tribute to Paul Whiteman. And I want to read from the liners or the original program notes written by Gunter Schuller. It is unlikely that anyone in jazz history has been as consistently maligned as Paul Whiteman. This recording hopes to put Whiteman's contribution to jazz in proper perspective and by paying tribute to him to right a wrong which has been perpetuated far too long. For decades, jazz writers have propagated the myth that, except for Bix's and a few of Tramp's solos, none of the Whiteman recordings, of which there are hundreds, are worth hearing, that Bix suffered intolerably in the Whiteman band, and that Whiteman's concept of symphonic jazz and his attempts to make a lady out of jazz were a betrayal to the music. A favorite target of jazz writers has been the use of violins, for this is where the real betrayal of jazz is alleged to have occurred. Bosh to all of that. The Whiteman orchestral sound is fashioned by three of the greatest arrangers that ever worked in the field, Ferdy Groffé, Bill Challis, and the Dean of African-American Composers, William Grant Steele, is one of the half a dozen most original jazz sounds ever to have been created, and it provided the perfect setting and inspiration for Bix, like a jewel set perfectly in the center of a crown. Okay, the two tunes are Sugar and Sweet Sue, and let me read to you what Gunter Schuller says about these two tunes. Sugar offers another fine example of how Whiteman's arrangers, in this case once again Bill Challis, exploited the coloristic spectrum of the band's instrumentation while also achieving as needed a wonderful amalgam of sounds by blending all four choirs together, really five, strings, brass, woodwinds, saxes, and rhythm. Note that in the first chorus, Challis, in order to achieve even more subtly varied shadings, divides the eight-man brass section into muted trombones and unmuted trumpets. The second chorus is split linearly between solos for Bix, alias Winokur for 24 bars, and Bill Rank, alias Don Sanders, the bridge's 8 bars, while underneath the soloists, a tenor sax somberly intones Sugar's original tune. More wonders occur when Challis reduces the first 6 bars of the third chorus to an amazing harmonic progression of half notes, 9th and 11th chords, 12 of them, while 2 octaves apart, one violin and a tenor sax, heard faintly in the background, cling valiantly to the song's tune. 16 bars later, the six-man sax section reiterates the previous half-note chord progression, a wonderful ear-training test. Just in case we didn't get it the first 2 times, Challis gives us the harmonically fluctuating progression, i.e. changes, one more time, but now the whole 23-piece band is having a go at it. For Sweet Sue, this is what he writes. The last song in our set stands out for its extra length, over 4 minutes long. It was recorded on a 12-inch disc, a great rarity in the old days when all jazz music was relegated by industry fiat to the 10th-inch disc, which had a duration of only 3 minutes and 10 seconds. A rather grandiose, fanfarish brass opening like a call to arms initiates Sweet Sue, Victor Young's first big hit song in 1928. But the ever-inventive Challis divides his 8 brass into 2 groups of 2 trumpets, 2 trombones each, the first one open and fortissimo with tuba added, the second mezzo forte and muted, no tuba. The unusual sounding mutes here, called megaphone mutes, were very popular in the 20s but fell completely out of favor in the ensuing decade and, alas, are rarely used nowadays. I love their sound and I have used them in many of my works, both jazz and classical. Now, a woodwind choir with oboe in the lead segues to a lovely duet for violin and oboe taken from Sweet Sue's verse, gently accompanied by a clarinet, two bass clarinets, and both bass. After almost a minute of introductory and verse material, Challis finally states Young's tune. In our case, a most elegant trombone quartet, originally Crosby and the Rhythm Boys, with a melody in the second, not the top voice, standard procedure in vocal groups. More bittersweet, colorful banter with the song's verse material ensues. Enjoy the great variety of impressionistic orchestral timbres Challis uses here, followed by the second chorus in solo tone, muted trombone, Don Sanders in parentheses, accompanied by Fred Hirsch's Celesta and in graceful garlands and arabesques. In the normal scheme of things, the three-minute recording time limit, the song would have had to end now. But no, Challis uses the extra time to launch into a bristling, dramatic, up-tempo episode introduced boldly in spiky major seconds in the brass. But the heart and soul of this passage is another great Bix solo excursion, played here by Winokur. Having thus far used a wide variety of colors and textures, Challis, of course, can't resist resorting to the multicolored, massive 26-piece sound of the full Whiteman Orchestra. And what a splendid sound it is. And what a wonderful way to bring to a close not only Sweet Sue, but this entire tribute to Whiteman and his outstanding musicians and to jazz's golden age. Well, it's quite a mouthful, but now, of course, these two recordings that I'm going to play follow the Whiteman arrangements note for note. So here is the New England Conservatory Jazz Repertory Orchestra in 1976.
Thank you.
The next two tunes I want to play were recorded by Paul Whiteman on February 13 and February 28, 1928. That was from Monday on. And on May 4th, 1929, that was Oh Miss Hannah. And the recordings that I want to play now are by the New Paul Whiteman Orchestra. Now, the New Paul Whiteman Orchestra was a group of British musicians and Richard Sodhalter, who had two commercial recordings and several concerts in England. And they played the Paul Whiteman arrangements close to note for note. The two recordings that I'm playing now, Oh Miss Hannah and From Monday On, are from a BBC broadcast recorded off the air. And the broadcast was the program Band Parade of October 27, 1975. Dick Sodhalter was able to obtain copies of the original scores used by the Paul Whiteman Orchestra at Williams College in the special collections there, the Paul Whiteman Collection, and used them for many of the tunes that he played with his group of British musicians. So let's listen then to From Monday On and Oh Miss Hannah by the New Paul Whiteman Orchestra with Richard Sodhalter on cornet.
Pianos there with Chris Ellis on vocal in Hallelujah. This is also a Whiteman standard and was a special feature of Bix Beiderbecke's. For now, Dick Sodhalter, who incidentally is co-author of Bix's biography, picks up his cornet to play From Monday On.
On Monday, because it's wash day, and we'll wash our blues away. From Monday on, the skies will look bright, Don't tell me different, I know I'm right. I'm gonna start shouting, hey, hey, when he says love, honor, and obey, cause I'll be happy from Monday on.
The orchestra from Monday on, and in addition to Dick Sudhalter on cornet, a little vocal harmony from the New Rhythm Boys. I keep on saying standard or classic with regard to the numbers because that's exactly what they are, and all of them are still played in jazz circles around the world. This one in particular, Oh Miss Hannah. Thank you. Hannah with Chris Ellis taking over the Bing Crosby role and Derek Guntridge on cor anglais. We're all.
The next two tunes I want to play are Lonely Melody, recorded by Paul Whiteman on January 4th, 1928, shortly after Bix joined the band, and Way Down Yonder in New Orleans, recorded on February 21st, 1923, by Paul Whiteman. Now, the versions of these tunes that I want to play are by the West End Jazz Band. It's from their CD entitled Live at the Blue Lantern on Hudson Lake, and it is a live recording of October 25, 2003. The CD was issued in 2004. It is a Legacy 2K104 CD. So let's listen then to a group of very talented musicians: Frank Gualtieri on trombone, Mike Woolbridge on tuba, John Otto on reeds, Wade Jones on drums, Lee Bezin on banjo and guitar, Mike Bezin on cornet, and he's the leader and arranger. This is the West End Jazz Band in 2003, live at Hudson Lake.
Next up is a tune that featured Bix when he was with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra called Lonely Melody.
Thank you.
The last two recordings in today's program are going to be That's My Weakness Now, recorded by Paul Whiteman on January 17, 1928, and Changes, recorded by Paul Whiteman on November 23, 1927. Changes was the second recording that Bix made with Paul Whiteman. The first one was Washboard Blues. Now, the modern musicians are Keith Nichols, Jazz Artists and Northern Symphonia. This comes from a CD entitled A Tribute to Paul Whiteman. It's Lake Records LA245. This was recorded live at the Sage Gateshead on July 13, 2006. It has many talented musicians in there. I'm not going to read them all. I'll just mention a couple of the ones that were at the festival either last year or the year before. Norman Field on clarinet and saxophone. Franz Sjöström on bass saxophone. Spetz Langham on guitar. And Nick Ward, he was not here this year. Josh Duffy did the drum work for the Spetz Langham and his rhythm boys on behalf of Nick Ward. Nick Ward was here the year before. Okay, and this is then Keith Nichols doing a tribute to Paul Whiteman. And in fact, in the liners for the CD, I read something very relevant to what we've been talking about in the forum for the last few days. It says, this CD is jointly dedicated to Richard Sotholter and to Rich Johnson of the Bix Beiderbecke Memorial Society, both of whom have lived the dream. This is a great recreation of the Whiteman sound in 2006.
she's got eyes of blue. I never cared for eyes of blue, but she's got eyes of blue, and that's my weakness now. She's got dimpled cheeks. I never cared for dimpled cheeks, but she's got dimpled cheeks, and that's my weakness now. Oh, me. Oh, my. She likes to bill and coo. I never like to bill and coo, but she likes to bill and coo, and that's my weakness now. She likes, I never liked, but she likes, and that's my weakness now. She likes, I never liked, but she likes, and that's my weakness now. She likes, I never liked, but she likes, that's my weakness now.
Rhythm Boys. That's my weakness.
Changes to D, he's moving around most any old key. Watch that, hear that, minor strain. Bado, bado, bada da 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 da. There's so many babies that he can tease, and is always changing those keys. First, he changes in the B, changes in the C, changes in the D, changes in the E. As easy as the weatherman. That's getting kind of cold, getting kind of hot. Listen, I forgot, since he was a tot, it's been the talk of Dixieland. Thank you.
This brings to an end today's program. It was very different from programs in the past where I play mostly music from the 1920s and 30s as recorded by artists in the 1920s and 30s. Today's program was the music of Paul Whiteman recorded by musicians from the 1960s and 70s and on into 2006. Well, let's get back to Bix now. We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.